Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the 12th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. On the front cover of this week's bulletin, you will see a depiction of the great story from this past Sunday in the gospel reading of that 10th leper that came to bring his thanksgiving and praise and gratitude back to Christ for the tremendous healing. In this week of the church year, we often focus on our thanksgiving to God, our gratitude to God for all of his blessings. One of the most clear and obvious expressions of gratitude that I've seen in the last few years, I remember in watching the TV show on ABC, Extreme Home Makeover. And they followed this family in a very poor suburb, extremely poor suburb of Los Angeles. And there was a number of children in the family. I remember they showed this teenage boy who was sleeping on a mattress out on the porch. They had cardboard up on the screens of the porch to try to keep the elements out and so on. And the house was falling down, and you all know the way the show operates. They first of all show you the condition of the family, and then they send them away and go about the construction of building a brand new beautiful home for them, bring them back, and then give them this extensive tour. And I remember as they were going through these rooms, this little 14-year-old boy's eyes were just so big to see every thing new. A lot of his own things were back in the house. It was obvious that this was a Christian family, you could tell by things on the wall. And when they finally got to his bedroom and opened the door, he stood there for about 5 seconds with his mouth wide open. And then what I loved is he immediately dropped at the side of his brand new bed and began saying, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for all of the wonderful things you've given me." It was a pretty touching moment of gratitude pouring out of that young man. In the text before us today, the 12th chapter of Romans, prior to this in the first 11 chapters, Paul has been taking us on a tour of the home of God's wonderful grace and mercy for us in Christ. He started this tour by demonstrating to us and showing us our awful condition without God's grace, how all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, saying to each one of us that there's no one righteous, not even one. We're certainly not deserving of anything God would give us. But then he brings us through this wonderful grace of God, going through room by room, explaining what Christ has done for us, to go to the cross, to shed his blood, to justify, to give us a new status before God, that every one of us here has now been declared righteous in his sight because of the work of Christ. And that by faith in him, we now have peace with God, he says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He takes us into the room of our election, and he explains how nothing can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. It is that secure. And he shows us the wonderful, beautiful room of the future home of heaven that we have coming for us. One of my favorite passages on this tour is when Paul says, "There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Isn't that just a great verse? There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Just take that in and hold on to it. Now, at the conclusion of this grand tour, taking us through all these beautiful rooms of the house of God's grace, St. Paul has us stand back and look at the entire house. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, now that you and I have been through the house and we've looked at everything God has done for us purely by his grace, when we think about what it means for us, our new status with God, when we think about the amazing home, the future that everybody in this room has because of what Christ has done, and that you get this just absolutely free as a gift of God's grace, reflecting on all of that, let's talk about how we live our lives in this world. How can we best show our gratitude to God? How can we drop to our knees at our beds? And so, with the mercies of God as the backdrop for this appeal, St. Paul now begins speaking to us about the particular pressures that we live under in the world that we're in and in the society that we live in. And he knows that this is going to be a struggle, even for the readers of his day, just as it is for us. He says, do not be conformed to this world. Paul's not naive. He doesn't think that once you become a Christian, oh, everything is fine and you just live this wonderful, glorified, sanctified life. He knows the struggle that there is with our flesh and with the temptations of the world, with the lure to come back to the world and to its altars. And it's all around us. And sometimes it starts to seep into our thinking and we're not even aware of it. About a year ago, I was talking to one of our pastors in our synod. We were talking about confirmation class. And I remember he said to me, he was so frustrated because for the past 5 years or so, he hands out a survey at the beginning of the class that asks the students, what is your family's favorite restaurant to go to? And he says on almost every batch of responses that he gets back, somebody puts down Hooters. Hooters. Their favorite family restaurant. Yeah. And he says what troubles him the most is when you talk to the parents about it, it's almost like they don't even make the connection. Years ago, I had a Bethany student come to my office when I was pastor in town. And she was troubled because her roommate was regularly taking birth control pills and was very obviously sleeping with her boyfriend. And this roommate was a professed Christian, came to chapel regularly, went to church, and she wanted advice on how to go back and talk to her about it, which she had already done numerous times. What bothered her wasn't the fact that her roommate was taking birth control pills when she wasn't married, but what bothered her was that there was a disconnect in the girl's mind. She didn't understand why it was an issue. That's the temptation that we have in this world where there is so much wickedness and evil everywhere in our culture. The temptation is for us to just blend in with it and not even make a connection between our lives and how we live them before God. And if you're like me, I know that I have certain pressure points in my heart, in my mind. Certain spots where the world can push its thumb in to get me to conform to how it thinks. And the problem is, the world isn't just trying to push its fingers into us to get us, to shape us back to the way the devil would want us. But its intent is to push its fingers through the skin into the heart and to steal our souls away from Christ. And so St. Paul is addressing this potential, this temptation toward this disconnect between our lives and the faith that we profess. Don't live under the delusion that you can, on the one hand, sing praise and gratitude to God, but without any care in the world, go back to the devil's altar regularly. St. Paul himself once used his body to harm and beat up Christians. By God's grace, he was called to faith in Christ and was now using his body to honor Christ, even to the point of being persecuted and imprisoned. Our bodies, which once belonged to the devil in this wicked world, have been claimed away from that through the waters of baptism. You and I are now the temples of the Holy Ghost. Think what that means. The absolute temples, the sanctuaries of the Holy Spirit in this world. And so St. Paul directs us to seek out the will of God, to go back to the Word that is our strength in this world, to fight with these great temptations to conform. What does God want me to do? How would God have me live a life of gratitude? He says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If you're like me, the more I fall in love with my sin, the less I care about God's Word. The more we go back to the Word, which is our strength, the more it will help us in our defenses against the world. I bet that family, many of those families that have had those extreme makeovers to their homes, I bet they put that tape or DVD in of their episode and play it every once in a while and just remind themselves and relive that gratitude and that joy. I would encourage you to again go back through God's Word, and particularly even through the book of Romans, and relive the wonderful grace that God has shown you in Christ. Think what your gracious Lord has done for you and for me that we don't deserve. Think how full and complete His forgiveness is in Christ. And think about the beautiful house that is just waiting for us to live in eternally.